So you guys, I've got this wonderful thing that I like to say to people, and I really mean it. Jesus loves you. It's like proven over and over again that he does. Today we're going to look at a few things that are going to really question us a little bit on do we love him. And I think sometimes that happens on a Sunday or when you get into the Bible, but today we're really going to, we're looking at the book of James and it's real faith and real life. But I find myself constantly challenged because I love people a ton. I want to make them feel good. I want them to be encouraged. I want them to know that God is good. I want them to know that he cares about them unmistakably. But I really want people to love Jesus a lot. And so if we love him, then we're going to be changed by him. He loves us, and he loves everybody. You guys remember John 3:16? Who in here could just stand up and blurt out John 3:16? Like, almost as loudly as possible. All right, so I saw it was a tie, so we're going to go to the new kid right behind you, Annette. All right? So this is Jaden. You guys both raise it. So go ahead, Jaden, go for it. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. So, as Jaden said, God so loved the world that he gave. Like, he gave his one and only son. Every single week, we talk about giving, and it frustrates people. It frustrates people, because, well, you're talking about money, and somebody's got to keep the lights on, and you don't just give two, you give through, and all the different things, right? But giving is a way you show that you love. What did God do to show that he loved? And he gave. He gave his son. This is like actions, works, right? Not to earn anything. God doesn't have to earn a darn thing. And so for us, I thought, man, I just want to get right to it. I had a couple of people, most notably somebody that I've known since I was in seventh grade, point something out to me this morning. Let me slow down on what's happening on Thursday. Thursday, in our parking lot. So pray that people enter the parking lot without bottoming out. Because it's like, man, we love you. Jesus loves you. Sorry about your oil pan, right? It's like, don't be sorry. I'm just going to sue you. Yay, the great American way. But pray against that. But it's right here. At 11:30, it'll go 11:30 to 12:30 because I think you guys have a break, like from 11:30 to 12. You don't. Oh no, right? So I asked the lady teachers in the house. Okay. So 11:30, 12:30, because you give, bought Chick-fil-A for these people. They're like, oh gosh, what Chick-fil-A? I'm in. But you're not a teacher. You are, so, but come and help if you'd like, but most of all, I'm inviting you to come and share love and show love. And if you are going to be praying for somebody, then hold that sign that says we'll be praying for you. And then maybe even that day, while they're driving through, we pray for them. And I don't know how many people will get out, and it's not a bait and switch. I'm like, come get food, and oh yeah, we're going to harass you with prayer, which, if you're going to be harassed, that's not a bad thing, but... But really what I wanted to do by just, what we always want to do is to show the love of Jesus. We want to not earn a right only. We want to show the love of Jesus in various ways, including feeding people. So that's 11:30 Thursday in our parking lot. We'd love to have you come. Like I said, if you're going to bring or come and hold a poster, we'll have some stuff you could make a poster with, or maybe you just make a poster and just come, maybe even with a Bible verse or whatever. I mean, whatever it is. It could just be colorful and foofy, and it says, Jesus loves you. So there. No, I'm just kidding. But one of those things. So I'm going to talk today about boasting versus trusting. And so I'm going to need your help just a little bit. I've got to get to it. But what's the difference between boasting and trusting? Maybe we should define boasting really quick. What does it mean? Because we don't use that word. We'd say bragging or whatever. But what does boasting mean? You're like, you just said bragging. Well, give me another word or two. Flaunting. Okay. Make known what you have. Building your own self up. Cool. Talking it up. Good. Thank you. Can we boast about somebody else? Cool. What about trusting? What does that mean? Putting your faith in someone? To believe. Good. What do you think? Believe what someone has to say. I know, baby. Good job. Stepping out in faith. Ben, do you mind if I share what you said about the difference between, you know, belief and then living it out? So he was talking. We were talking on Tuesday night about chairs, and you have faith that these chairs work, and you sit in them because, well, you've sat in them before, or you're just pretty sure. Why would they put out chairs that wouldn't work? He said, when you get over a certain amount of pounds, it takes a little more faith to sit in those chairs, right? There's some trusting. And so today we're going to get after it, but I wanted to remind you that we're rooted, and we want to be rooted here, but we don't just want to be rooted in, like Josh is talking about, some kind of religiosity or tradition, although there's some really cool religious traditions that we're really excited about, like reading God's word is one of them. But we talked about in the very beginning of the year that we're rooted in Jesus. So will you join me in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, and see where just this hand-picked, cherry-picked verse has really been pushing us and guiding us. Really, most of us who are in Christ, this kind of discipleship, this kind of encouragement has been happening for a long time. But at Crosswater, we said in the beginning of the year, we want to be and remind people that we're rooted in Jesus. So here you go, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Does that sound familiar at all, like even what we might have looked at in James 3? Like, you know, that was words, but earlier, faith and works, right? If you are grounded in Jesus, if you're rooted in Jesus, if you receive Jesus, you are in Jesus. That's what that baptism is a picture of. I am dead to myself. I'm alive in Christ. I'm in Jesus. So if you're in him, walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And so, no more elaborating. Will you join me in Matthew 6, 19 through 34? Does anybody know anything about Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that stands out to them? What's that? Sermon on the Mount. Nice job. Look at that. I love it. You said it with the little question mark at the end, right? Sermon on the Mount? Yes, it's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the longest recorded sermon of Jesus. Let me ask one more time. Who loves Jesus? Sweet. Who does Jesus love? All of us. Listen, this is his teaching. I'm just going to read it. I'm really blessed to be able to do so. God is so kind that he would give us recorded teaching of his son, Jesus Christ. That though he lived on this earth 2,000 plus years ago, his words still exist today. Here we go. Matthew 6, 19 through 34. Try not to fall asleep. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, bless you, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow thrown into the fire or the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just for some of us who don't know what righteousness means, it's the right way of living according to God. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus, best teacher ever. Let's go to James 4, 13 through 14. This is Jesus' half-brother, his little brother. Jesus was the firstborn to Mary, and Joseph was his stepdad. And he had some half-brothers and at least one half-sister. I think there was multiple half-sisters. That's a little bit of a debate. But I noticed something, and I hope you'll see it, that James, this half-brother of Jesus, sounds like his brother a little bit. So let's go. James 4, 13 through 14, we're going to be looking at boasting and trusting today. And so I ask you to open your eyes and your ears and your heart to what Jesus told us and how it's played out. You don't hear much about Jesus and James. You hear his name twice. But his teaching, all through it, so good. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. How cheerful. There's just so much hope there. There's so much reality. There ought to be some freedom. Like, look, you're here for a minute, and then you bounce, right? You're going one of two places for eternity, with God or apart from God. He's like, but you, who say, oh, I'm going to go there. We're going to make a ton of money for a year. He's like, you don't even know. And who's the you that he's talking about? Well, Pastor Warren Wiersbe, long, long time ago, wrote a Bible exposition commentary. So verse by verse, sometimes word for word, he talked about what this means. And this is the you that he's talking about. They, the you, measure success in life by how many times they got their own way and accomplished what they had planned. God's not mad at us for planning things. God's not mad at us for accomplishing things. But I would ask you, compared to what we just heard Jesus say, what we're hearing his little brother say, are you somebody who would define success as getting what you want? Now you're like, whoa, but man, now that I'm in Jesus, I got a new heart. I want what God wants. rad. Hallelujah. But you're not Jesus. Sometimes you and I think that the best thing that can happen for us is we get all that we want. Not always true. And so let's go back to James. And we'll go 15 through 17 of James chapter 4. So he's like, look, I love how he started that though in 13. He's like, come now. It reminds me kind of this guy, Michael Irvin. He's like, come on, man. He's like, what are you doing? You're planning all these things and your life's a mist. It's a vapor. Here for a bit and then it's gone. Instead, verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. That ought to hit close to home. Not just for some of you, but for all of us. And now, here's the problem with little pithy verses like verse 15. Do you mind popping that back up there for me, Pete, really quick? Thank you. Instead of saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to make money. And again, this sounds like James or me as a teacher is against planning. Not at all. My wife would say, no, but seriously, I'm not against planning. I think planning is wonderful. I think when you tell God what to do for you and bless this and bless that, not asking God and not seeking God and wanting and saying, look, open the door or shut it, but whatever you will, whatever you bring my way, that's good. I think some of us will use this, though, as this little kind of catchphrase. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. Do you mean that? Lord willing, I'll get this job. Lord willing, we'll work through this problem. Lord willing, I'll have somebody I can spend the rest of my life with. And then what if it's not the Lord's will for those things to happen? Are you still down for that? Well, he says to ask, seek, and knock. And he says that all that stuff will come your way. Well, Jesus actually said you'll get everything you need. Not everything you want. And he says, if you know the good you ought to do, and you don't do it, that's sin. And because he loves you and he gave you life and he gave his life for you to have life forever and he paid your sin debt, that sin won't separate you from him for eternity, but you will start to not hear his voice very well. If you know the good you ought to do and you continue not to do it, you're turning from God to you and to your plan or to whatever seems to fit. And I'll ask you to consider, is my faith dead if I continue to go to what I think works instead of what God says works? Now, sometimes they're the same thing. It's beautiful and wonderful. And it's not like an accident. You can actually know what he says. I love it. Like little simple verses like Micah 6:8. He's shown you, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Humbly means you don't tell him what to do. You're not boasting on you. You're not trusting in you. You're boasting on him and you're trusting on him. But that's the end of today's message, so I'll just leave that there. I was asking God to bring to my attention something that would help us with this idea of what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and what his little brother said just now in James 4. And this really simple psalm came to my mind a couple of different times. One time is because I read it in something that I was reading. The other time, it just came back around at the end of the day. And so we're going to go to Psalm 90, verse 12. My wife, Kathy, was wearing a T-shirt that a number of us got. It said, don't count the days, make the days count. And it's kind of funny because our last name is Day, and some of us are super bad at math. So I always laugh a little bit when I say, make the days count. No, we're not really good at it. But really what that's saying is like, make the most of what you got. Don't try to go get something that isn't here yet, and don't wish you had what happened yesterday. And Jesus said, today's got enough trouble of its own. So like, focus on him. And so here's this really precious gem in Psalm 90, verse 12. Is somebody willing to read it out loud, like big girl or big boy voice? Go for it, friend.
Psalm 90, 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom.
Thanks, Aaron. It's really cool that you picked that, because God has given you victory over cancer. But that wasn't always a for sure. And we all still have days that are right here, right now, but teaching us to number our days. I think when you get what some people would consider a death sentence, or what my mom has been told, she's terminal, right? It's, I mean, technically we're all terminal, right? But for her, she's been given a date and she's gone past that, and I thank God for that. And for you, Aaron, you were given a lot to consider and you had to make a lot of decisions. And there's wisdom in that. Like, my friend said this a long time ago to me. Live like you're going to die tomorrow, but plan like you're going to live forever. And the reality is we are going to live forever. And you can't plan what's to come. God's got it all. He's working it out. So teach us to number our days that we might have a heart of wisdom, that we would be wise with what days we have here. So I'll bring you back to James 5, but as we're going back there, I want to ask you to consider, have you been boasting about you? Have you been boasting about your accomplishments? Have you been boasting about what you can get done? Or have you been trusting God? And again, like I said, at the end of the message, we're going to look at how you can do boasting and trusting at the same time. And that's real good. You can boast in the Lord. You can trust in the Lord. These are good things. James goes from saying, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it for him or for her, it's sin. So if you know the good and you just know it, you're just really not doing anything about it. Like, number those days, make the most out of the opportunities, honor God. Then he comes to a come now again. He's like calling people out left and right. And you're going to see that these words sound a lot like Jesus. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Why would rich people have miseries coming upon them? They've got everything they could possibly need. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say about hoarding treasures here? Because remember, they're going to be destroyed by what? Moths, rust, people will take them. Your gold and your silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you. Nice. And will eat your flesh like fire. Here's a little just humble reality for my life. I thought I was something. Especially my senior year, I had hair. I could rap, and I was one of the few white people in our whole Seattle area that rapped. And I had this really cool chain. They called it a dookie rope. Look it up. But it was like a thick gold chain for a little bit. And then it started to turn silver. Then it started to turn my neck green. Then it started to eat my flesh. And I still was trying to wear it. This is like, Aaron Day, this is your life. You've laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts, the God of heaven's armies, or the angel armies, has heard when people are wrong to each other. When people want money and they hold back payment. You've lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You've fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. This is so wild, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but like if you're going to, and I know for some of you this is a really, really sensitive subject, and I'm not trying to just traipse over it, but if you're a meat eater, they tend to fatten up those animals. This is kind of a play on words that James has got going on here. Like, you're fattening yourself in a day of slaughter, but he's about to tell them, the slaughter is yours. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. In John 15, Jesus says, and I don't have this, you can look it up, but if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Like, the condemning and murdering a righteous person, that really the only true righteous person ever was Jesus. And he was condemned and he was murdered. But people look at this and go, I haven't murdered anybody. Okay, maybe I've held back what people were due or owed or whatever, but I didn't murder anybody. You know that you can kill people slowly, right? Do you know that there's lots of ways to murder people? Jesus himself said, back in that same Sermon on the Mount, if you hate your brother, you've murdered him. They're dead to me. Leave me alone. And I'm just like, Lord, you're coming after this. The righteous person hasn't resisted you. Just trying to understand, what does all that even mean? And I keep coming back to Jesus. Now, the second time he comes back, he's not meek and mild Jesus. He's on a war horse. Every knee has to bow. Every tongue has to confess. And there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, Jesus. America. I mean, seriously, I mean, it's just so many different things. He's going to be tatted up, and he's going to be just lopping off heads. Okay. I mean, I don't disagree. But are you ready to bow? Have you been bowing already? Not just at church or in any function or when you're really in trouble or when you really need something. But, like, are you bowing? Is he your king? Is he your Lord? Are you going to be willing to follow his example? That he says, look, if they hate you, keep in mind they hated me first. And boy, have we seen a ton of that. And I'm not even talking about America. We have brothers and sisters today that have been murdered simply for proclaiming the name of Jesus. Some of us have been made fun of. Some of us have even lost jobs. Some of us have lost some relationships because of our relationship with Jesus. But no one yet has bled because of that. And I say yet because I think it's coming in our lifetime. In this land of the free and home of the brave. So how in the world can we be like Jesus? First of all, we have to submit to him. Secondly, we get to follow his example. And so we're about to read five verses. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 6. See? Make the days count. And you're going to see this, be patient, or something similar to that, at least five times. Steadfast, which is patiently hanging in there, is in there. But this is like this consistent theme that keeps coming to me. Kathy will remind me, it's worth waiting for. I'm like, I know. And I tell my kids that, and they go, I know. And I'm like, you're just like your mom. But patient. Has anybody in this room been so bold as to say, I don't pray for patience? Because then, you know, you just have to work through patience. I've said that before. It's like, as if God is going, wow, I never thought to work patience in them until they asked for it. It's coming, whether you're ready or not. Wait for it. Okay, dad jokes are over. Let's go. James 5, 7 through 12. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. These rains are separated by months. Planting, tilling, it's being watered, it's having the sun, and then you wait, and you wait. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Second time we hear about this now. The coming of the Lord. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Third reminder that he's coming. Standing at the door means he hasn't kicked it down yet. You still got a chance. You still have an opportunity to repent, to be patient, to wait, and to trust that God's got something going, even if you don't see it. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Do you know that very few of them had some massive revival? As a matter of fact, most of them, we know about them because God said they did it right. But they had very few people follow them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, Zephaniah, even Jonah. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast, who hung in there, who were patient. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord. How the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Isn't that sweet? He reminds us of Job. How many of us need to be reminded of Job? We call it even the patience of Job. That's really good on you, and it looks good on you, and it looks good on you, but no, man, you can miss me with all that patience. I got things I got to get done. Verse 12. But above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. James is just like pulling stuff out of it. And yet he sounds just like his brother. Jesus said the same thing. Anything other than yes being yes and no being no is from the evil one. There's condemnation for people who lie, who aren't patient, who are constantly trying to grab. Now, for those of us who are in Christ, our condemnation is short-lived. And there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. He actually loves us. We become more than conquerors. Because he's faithful to complete the work that he begins in us, go from being liars and swindlers. I'll use some other words, but like promiscuous and selfish to being people who give away our lives. So I ask you, how in the world can there be good boasting and trusting? Because we all boast. And we all trust. What is it that you're boasting about? Who is it that you're boasting about? What is it that you're trusting? Who is it that you're trusting? Here's a chance today, this morning, where you and I can actually be encouraged, or we can be challenged, or we can be called to something better and deeper. Nobody's done. We've all got work to do, and God's faithful to do that work. So I started passage-wise about being rooted and established and growing firm in Jesus. Then the first passage that you heard today was from Jesus. The last passage is found in Jeremiah 9. It's 23 and 24. And it's the Lord talking. This would be the good boasting, the good trusting. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord. Anybody grow up with the King James at all? Did that come to your mind at all when you just heard that? Thus saith the Lord. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. Can you remind me who's saying this? Remember we just do the whole King James thing? Thus saith the Lord. Don't let the smart person boast in how smart she is. Don't let the strong person boast in how mighty they are. Don't let the rich man boast in, I'm loaded. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I'm the Lord who practices steadfast love. You want to be patient? I know how to be patient. I've been super patient with all of you. Well, what about that whole Noah thing? 120 years. 120 years. After lots and lots of years of getting so bad that he's like, all right, we're done here. Gave him 120 years, and the only people that went into the ark were Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight people total. And God shut the door. He's like, we're done with this. We're starting over. He's patient, though. He's kind. How many of you have heard messages like this? Look, I know that some of you, like, gosh, I wish this was different. I wish my church was different. We had this little video that we did, and my son found it, and it was kind of funny. And it's this, like, digitized, robotized voice, and it's this little cartoon. This guy's complaining about his church. And the other guy says, well, have you tried this? No, my church sucks. And then he's like, well, have you tried this? No, my church sucks. And it just goes on, and his church sucks. And then finally his friend says, you know, after listening to all these things and all the things you haven't even tried, I don't think the church is the problem. I think it might be you. You know what the guy said to him? You suck. Let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So I ask you to consider what's next for you. What are you boasting in? Who are you boasting in? Where do you trust? What is God calling you to do to lean in? We've got school right around the corner. Fall gets a bunch of things back on the schedule, so to speak. And we're excited about it, and we jump in on that as well. But please don't wait. Start today. What can you do today? We have a bunch of questions for you, and if you're like, oh, I don't do the whole app thing, or my phone's a dumb phone, then we have actually out there, Pastor John has printed out the questions and the slides and all that kind of stuff. And you can come on Tuesday. I'm going to be honest with you. That's going to change a little bit after the 13th of September. We're serious about the whole small groups and spreading the love in that way. There will be something that still happens here on Tuesday nights because there's some people that want to lead it. But a ton of the people have responded and they're like, yeah, we want to lead a group. We want to host a group. We want to be in a group. And we hope that you'll join that as well. We need help. And God's totally down for helping us. We just actually have to give up trying it our own way. Submit to him. Surrender to him. Daily take up your cross and deny yourself and follow him. Not because that finally earns something, but you show that, oh gosh, I can't do it on my own. No man can tame the tongue, we heard last week. Gosh, I guess I don't have any hope. No. No man can do it, but God, he's got it down. He'll help you. He loves you. You may not get all that you want. You may not get all that you had hoped for, but you'll have him, and you can boast in that. So finally, I want to remind you that we do a thing called Serve Saturday on the first Saturday of every month. We took August off. We're getting back to it in September. Really love for you to be a part of that with us. Do you know what that means? Does anybody know when the first Saturday of September is? So some of you are going to be like, oh man, I don't do that. Okay, cool. But if you do, join us here, 8 a.m. this Saturday. Got a little, it's Labor Day. We do work. I didn't even think about all that. Unless you're giving birth, that's even a better dad joke. It's not funny at all, Dad. Make that's bad. All right, so let me say this. I'm not a person who doesn't need to have things repeated. You can tell me once, but I probably need to hear it a few more times. And God is so gracious because he does that for all of us. Not too much different from the 16 verses or passages that we looked at to begin the year with. There is a God. He made us. He loves us. We rebelled against him. He said, this is the only way that that's going to be paid for is me paying for it. And he did, and he does. And he calls us to believe him and be the seed of the woman or be of the body of Christ. There's a lot of us that are having things happen in our lives that are like, gosh, it's not working by myself, but I'm afraid to trust God. I hear you. You are called to be established in him. You are called to trust him, to be patient, to wait for what he has for you. Your plan, your way, and your will is not success. God's plan, God's way, God's will is our success. And he'll show us over and over again what that looks like. And it looks like God's God and we're not. So let's pray, and then you could go. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunities for us to hear your word, to sing, to have you define what life and success and treasure is really like. God, that you would call us to be patient. You'd call us to count the days. Teach us how to do that, Father. Would you help us to be the kind of people that boast and trust in you? You're awesome, God. We love you and we praise you, not just when we get what we want either. You're better than anything we can get, and you gave yourself to us. I love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.